Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. We are your hosts, Tywana Wilson, Mona Small, and Stephanie Whitehead. We are excited to bring to you another amazing episode, but this one is pretty fun. We are taking the time out to answer some of your most pressing questions. So thank you all for the submissions that you had sent us, and we will do our best to answer your questions. But for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome to this podcast. We are global podcasts and we have listeners all around the world. So we are super excited about that. But more importantly, we are excited that you are listening to this episode today. And don't be stingy with your listening. Share this episode out. We are sure that you have members of your organization that could benefit from listening to these strategies. You have other lab professionals, or you have friends of the laboratory who needs to hear this message. So please make sure you share this message out. You'll find us on Direct Impact Broadcasting or your favorite podcast platform. So let's get into it. Ladies, are you all excited about this episode?
Very.
I am. I think this is going to be a good one. Well, we've had some great questions come in, and Lona, I'm going to let you kick it off with the question and give your thoughts, and we can kind of talk about some of these.
All right. So first question is, what strategies have you seen medical lab professionals use to successfully navigate their career path? And I should underscore successfully, because we have tried so many things and I'm not going to go into that. But I coach a lot of medical lab professionals in career progression. And I'm going to kind of go through that strategy in which you can use to successfully navigate your career path. And when I think of career path, I know a lot of people think, okay, I may be a mid-level manager who is trying to move to the next level, or I'm just starting out. But your path is a full journey, and we are all at some level, at some place in our journey. So I'm talking to anyone, a new tech, a mid-level manager, someone who may be in a high level leadership role or executive. Every time there is this next question, what do I do next in my career path? So the first thing I'm going to tell you to do that may surprise you, because that usually comes for a lot of people somewhere in the middle. But the first thing I'll tell you to do is find a coach or a mentor. And there's a difference between a coach and a mentor. A coach basically will help you to figure out the right path to take. And a mentor will help you, will basically demonstrate for you what it could look like in that path. So if you're not clear about the path that you would take, you could be probably have a mentor and make a lot of the same mistakes over and over again, where you're spending a lot of time in areas that you shouldn't be. So the first thing that you would need to do is first decide on the right path that you'd want to take, and then find a mentor to demonstrate that and hold your hand sometimes if you need to encourage you on the way. But that's the first step. The next step that I'd encourage you to do is start networking. Network, once you know where you're trying to go, network with people who are in the field you're curious about, in the next step you're curious about, or even in just the company that you're curious about, or even in your company, somebody who probably has done the same thing you have done, but not necessarily in the same field. So you could be networking with colleagues, people from companies you're interested in. People are in different positions to learn from them and share with them and get comfortable about that next level you're going to take when it comes to navigating your career path. And then during that time, there's a lot of opportunity to do informational interviews, just talking to people, asking questions, and supporting them along the way. Then the third thing I'd ask you to do in that whole navigating that your career path is to be open. Be open to try new things, take on new challenges. Even if it's things that you've never done before and you feel as if you're not equipped to do. I can't tell you how many people we have either interviewed. I mean, on LabOpex Live, I have used to get people who are doing so many things that's kind of outside of the realm of traditional medical lab science. And they would say they had no idea how to do it when they got into it. They were brave enough to take that step. So they took on new challenges and they learned along the way. They made mistakes and they just don't regret it. They're like coming back to encourage others. So don't be afraid to take on new challenges, even if you have no idea what you're doing. I know Stephanie will tell you the story about when she took on her role as a lab director. So don't be afraid to do that. Then the fourth thing I would say, be accountable. Be accountable to where you are in your journey. And a lot of times we tend to blame situation, blame somebody else who didn't give us a chance, just blame everything else. But take that accountability. The earlier you own it, the earlier you can take control of it. So wherever you are now, just take that responsibility and just decide, okay, I'm going to do something about it. But don't spend time in blame. Then the fifth thing is be positive. We talk about the blame. You're not a victim. So be positive. So a lot of times you're going to come up with challenges at every level, whether you're just starting out, you think maybe if I get that other job, everything is going to be fine. When you get there, there's another challenge. And no matter where you are in the journey, there's going to be challenge. So be positive. You're not a victim. And a lot of times, a lot of these hard experiences are opportunities for you to grow. So many times when you're in the middle of these challenges, it's hard for you to see it, but there's always a gift in every circumstance. So if you could, even in the middle of it, just try to remember that later on, you're going to see the gift, try to be positive in that situation. So now that you've actually figured out what you want to do, you have a mentor, you're networking, you're taking on new challenges, become visible. And I know that's challenging for a lot of medical lab professionals. A lot of our new medical lab professionals know that that's important. So we're kind of changing the culture where becoming visible, we're realizing how important that is. So becoming visible, it could be on social, it could be at work. It could be just taking on and being in different committees, taking on different projects, just talking about the career that you're curious about or the thing that you're interested in. And you'd be surprised just talking about it. Maybe sometimes you don't even have to say you're interested in it, but having these conversations, you may learn so much just by speaking to someone who may have something to help you with. So becoming visible, getting involved on committees and projects is going to be very helpful. And then the seventh thing is ask for what you want. Apply for that job. And we did an episode about pitching yourself. Pitching yourself. pitch yourself. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. The episode is, I think it's episode number 10 on our season 3, the do's and don'ts of pitching yourself. So prepare and then pitch and be confident and enjoy the journey. Those are some of the tips that I have. I don't know if my co-hosts have anything else to add. Those were some things that I saw with people that I coach and that successfully navigate their career journey.
Yeah, the only thing that I would add to that, and Lona, that was very comprehensive, and I think that was great, is that, but, you know, I had to come with the practical tips as well. But honestly, one of the strategies that I have seen people do as they navigate their career path is change employers. You know, I know early in my career field, that was one of the things that I did. I changed employers. I took the risk and changed employers so that I could continue to learn and grow. Unfortunately, sometimes you can work for an employer and maybe the opportunities to learn different things are just not there for you. So you have to figure out how long should you stay, when you should stay, and when you should go. And I would say, at least for me, early in my career, moving around and working with different teams, it allowed me to have different skills very quickly in comparison to some of my colleagues that were out there.
I like that advice. It was our very own Coach T. Wilson who once told me, your next move might be out, not up. So that was really great advice. And I myself have used that. So I'm just going to wrap that question up and say to the person who asked, the best strategy to navigate your career seems to be that you need to immediately reach out or LinkedIn and connect with OPEC PX Live and Trendy Elite Consultants and connect with Taiwana and or Lona to get you navigated on your career path. And so I will move us into our next listener question. Do my best to answer, and then I know my lovely co-host will fill in the gaps and the rest of what I don't catch on to. And so the next question we got is, what tips do you have for medical laboratory professionals who are looking to increase their confidence? And I like this question because self-confidence, you know, is a hard thing. You know, it when you look at the definition, confidence is really just the belief in how good you are at something. It's not the actual measure of your skill in that thing. It's just really what you believe in yourself. And so that is something kind of like your self-esteem, your self-efficacy, your self-worth, that you have to kind of develop that regimen of speaking well of yourself, thinking highly of yourself, and believing that you can do anything. And so if I think about this question, specific to our field of laboratory medicine, which most of our listeners are in the lab, how can you increase your confidence in working in this field? Well, one, you could, you know, pick the area that you are most passionate about, whether that be blood bank, micro, management, education, point of care, pick the specialty or specialties or the areas that you feel most confident and comfortable and passionate about and start to build your knowledge base in that area. You know, I'm a person who loves management and loves operations. And, you know, so when I go to conferences, when I do things, I try to lean on continuing to build my knowledge base in those areas because that's where my passion is. And so once you pick an area that you like, say you like blood bank, start to build your knowledge base, start to read articles, start to participate in maybe CLSI writing, maybe go on some CAP inspections, see how other people are doing their best practices, but start to build your knowledge base in those areas and eventually become an expert. And once you become an expert, you can share that expertise by participating in professional organizations or, like Lona said, you know, start to, you know, make yourself visible within volunteer groups or on social media and start to connect and share that expertise, whether that's through writing articles for different magazines, whether that's through poster presentations, whether that's through blogging. Start to share your expertise and network with other people in that field, and maybe even get mentors from, you know, people who have been in that particular field or in that arena for a while. Once you are have immersed yourself in that specialty, even if it's in management, you'll start to feel that because you've increased your knowledge, you'll automatically feel like you have more confidence in your knowledge base in that area. And then if we're just talking about overall professionally, how to increase your confidence in yourself just professionally and believe that you can actually have the skill to go out and get what you want or go out and get the jobs that you want. One, just be really honest with yourself. You know, do you have goals? Have you set clear, smart goals for yourself and a pathway to achieve those goals? And if not, start doing those things. But during that process, also give yourself permission to be in the process of learning. So you might make mistakes. You might have to take some risks, move some jobs, get a job that you don't like and you know, move again. But understand that, you know, your career is a journey and all of these things are kind of adding to your experiences. I would say do some things that get you out of your comfort zone. So confidence is ultimately about being comfortable in a wide variety of situations that will make other people uncomfortable. So for me, I have, and you wouldn't be able to tell it, but I have a fear of writing. And so I purposely, you know, say yes to certain writing assignments, whether it's contributing to an article, whether it's writing and authoring an article, you know, doing an interview. I purposely sign myself up for those or obligate myself to those things to force myself to write, to hopefully one day overcome that and have more confidence in my writing abilities as a professional. If you're a woman or really just any professional, but try to defy the imposter syndrome. And we know that imposter syndrome impacts women statistically more than men in any profession. But, you know, try to identify if that is something that's holding you back. And if you're not aware of what imposter syndrome is, it's really just a mental block that convinces you or that you convince yourself that your accomplishments don't count and that you'll eventually be found out as quote unquote a fraud. And it's really just self-doubt that creeps in. And that's really because it's always easier for us to remember our faults than it is for us to remember our successes. So one thing that I do is I try to, when I think about my faults or think about something I might not be good at, I try to counteract that with a fact. You know, if I think I can't write, I try to counteract that with, you know, but you have written these publications or you have done these, you know, cover magazine articles. And so you may think you can't do this, but you, as a fact, you actually have done these things. So I would say the last piece of advice is, and it can be very difficult sometimes, but continuously as much as possible, speak well of yourself. I mean, we're our own worst enemies and our own worst critics. Definitely in this day and age where mental health is such a focus, definitely try to speak positively of yourself. And believe that you can do anything. But ladies, how have you worked over your careers to increase your confidence?
So, Stephanie, I love everything that you have said. And especially what you said is just, for me, is like, just do it. A lot of times people are so afraid to do it so that they can actually see that they can do it. Like what you said, you know, you decide I'm going to write. But I usually have this thing called the courage loop. So acting on something that you may think that you have a small amount of competence in. So you act on it, and the more you do it, it builds your competence. And the more your competence increase, your confidence increase. So just act on things, and then it's almost like practice brings perfection or improvement. And the more it improves, the more it builds your confidence. And for people who are afraid to take that big leap, just act on something that you already, like a, something that you think that you already can do. It's nothing that's so huge and so scary. Just start small and then just keep practicing. And then you'll find that, oh, I could do it. And then the more I do it, the more I'm confident in doing it.
And like they say in showbiz, fake it till you make it. And then your confidence will increase. So you absolutely have to keep doing something and keep practicing. And that's how you get better and better and better with it. Interestingly enough, every time I get on the stage, I am absolutely nervous and terrified. And people will be like, well, you're such a natural, you know, at it. But it doesn't stop me from being nervous and terrified to do it. It's just that I know in order to impact change and change the world, I have to be able to use my voice. And so that's one of those things that, you know, as you're thinking about increasing your confidence, the only way to do that is to just keep practicing. Well, that brings us to our next question. Our next question is, what changes can medical laboratory professionals make to their resumes to better showcase their qualifications and skills? So this is a great question because we know that many of you are looking for your first or next opportunity. I will highlight just a few things that you can do, but recently myself, along with Tiffany Medical Lab Lady Gill, actually did a video, an in-detail video about resume writing, cover letters on her YouTube page. So I will make sure to link that here in the show notes so that you all are able to get even more understanding around this topic. But some of the things that you can do is when you're listing your work experience, you want to make sure that you quantify the outcomes of your work. What that looks like is maybe you saved the company X amount of dollars. Well, what was that X amount of dollars? Maybe you are a supervisor and you have 30 direct reports. You want to be able to say how many people report up to you, how many people are following your leadership. Maybe you helped with a process improvement idea. And so you want to include what was the process improvement idea and what did it save? Did it save X amount of time of employee labor? Or maybe it reduced the process by 3 or 4 steps that you have found that were not needed in the process. So being able to quantify the outcomes of your work. And so that would be one thing that I would say to highlight your skills and experience. Also, list the competencies that were demonstrated under each of your roles. So for your organizations, did you use critical thinking? Did you use delegation? So as a lot of these programs that recruiters are using, they're looking for certain keywords inside of that. And sometimes you may not have those keywords inside of your summary or your bullet points for your job experience. So you can actually list the competencies that were demonstrated in that role. And if you are on LinkedIn, they have that option for you to list your competencies up under each of your jobs. So that's a bonus tip if you are over there on that platform, which I hope that you are. Another bonus tip was for each of your employers, actually write a summary of what that employer is and what they do. Now, from a laboratory perspective, we know that there are key labs that people know their name, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, the Johns Hopkins University, but maybe you work for a different type of organization in which by just looking at the title of your company's name, maybe it's not apparent to the type of work your company do. That's also another kind of like bonus tip as you update your LinkedIn profile that you can actually put that there as well. You can start off with the type of organization that you are working for. You want to be sure to list any key projects you have been involved with, and these could be projects that are inside or outside of your laboratory. What you want to show is that you are a team team player. You want to show that you can work with cross-functional teams, that you have strategy or strategic thinking. Maybe you serve as a safety representative for your department. Those are projects that you want to make sure that you are putting down on your resume. You want to list any awards and accolades you have received, especially if they are relevant or related to the jobs or careers in which you are interested in. So I have been fortunate and blessed over my time to receive different awards. Some of them are related to laboratory and some of them are not. But if I am listing awards that are related to lab, then I would make sure that I list those things, such as ASCP 40 under 40 or Cardinal Health's Leader Award. So you want to make sure that you are listing any accolades or awards that you have that could be relevant to any careers that you are pursuing. You want to list any presentations, articles, podcasts that you have been featured on or wrote for. Sometimes we don't think about those things. And then when it's time to apply for a job, when it's time to apply for an award, you will often forget if it's not top of mind. So when you have submitted for an article in which they were asking for your knowledge and expertise, whether you present it, whether it was presenting to your department or presenting for a professional conference, you want to list those activities in which you have been deemed a leader for, or maybe you presented a poster presentation. So you want to make sure that you are listing those things. And if you have happened to be one of our many, many guests over the years, make sure you put down that you have been a guest on this show, and you can actually have the link for the show in which you were an expert for. You want to list any community activity. Oftentimes, I find that people don't include their whole selves on their resume, which you could be missing out on critical opportunities in which you were a leader in. So listing those community activities, such as any boards that you might have sat on, maybe you were the PTA president, maybe you served on one of the boards for one of the local not-for-profit organizations. Any committees that you have served on in the community would be helpful as well, because again, you wanting to present yourself as having a diverse experience, being a well-rounded candidate. And so I know early in my career, before I got my first documented leadership role as a supervisor or manager, and I've probably mentioned this story before, but I had the degree. So I had my bachelor's degree, I had a master's degree, but inside of the workplace, I'd never had a formal title. I was not a lead tech. I didn't have that. I was not a supervisor. And so when I was going for an opportunity to be a supervisor, I threw my name in the hat because I felt like I had the experience. And I was able to use sitting on the board of directors for the Urban League as experience in leadership, because with that experience, I also served as the president of one of the committees, which happened to be the fundraising arm for the league. And so being able to work with people of various backgrounds, being able to build influence, being able to have a budget, being able to present at meetings. So all of these things were helpful when it came time for me to be able to present myself on my resume. Any mentoring opportunities that maybe you have done where you've served as a mentor inside of your organization or in your community, or maybe you work with young girls and you serve as a mentor, maybe you serve as a mentor for a STEM program. But those are all opportunities that you can highlight some of the additional competencies and qualities that you may have. It's these things that really makes you unique. Because let's face it, you know, we went to school for medical laboratory science, whether you were the 2-year track or 4-year track, we learn hematology, we learn chemistry. So we have similar technical skills, but it's those other things that makes us unique. It's those other things to get back to the question of navigating your career paths. So that's what I would say. And I would say those things in which you had those awards, you had those articles or those presentations, I would put those things at the beginning of your resume. So that when somebody is looking at your resume, because they are only taking about 10 seconds or so to look at your resume, they are seeing some of those best things first before they move on to the next resume. So that's what I got. Ladies, what do you think?
I completely agree. Remember, you know, as a busy lab manager and a busy hiring manager, many medical laboratory technologists or phlebotomy or cytotech resumes look the same. They look very similar. And you only have about 10 minutes to really browse through, 10 seconds to really browse through them. And so really make sure that you can make those things that are particular about yourself, are special about you, really stand out so people can catch those at a glance.
Yes, that was one of the things. It seemed as if we're all on the same page about really focusing on that. What is it that you're putting first? Depending on the job and what they're looking for, make sure you're using that either in your summary, you're using the keywords in your summary, you're really highlighting yourself, and you customize your resume based on the job that you're looking for. So you put that in your summary at the beginning so that once they hit it, it catches their eyes. And then the most important things when it comes to quantifying those impact comes first in your resume. So I think we're all on the same page. Hopefully you'll get that one. That's so important. Make sure you're putting those first in your resume. All right. So I'm going to move to the next question that we got. And that says, what common mistakes should medical lab professionals avoid when pursuing their career goals? It's actually a two-part question. And what are the top tips for medical lab professionals to create an action plan to achieve their career goals? And for the top mistake that I would say is people trying to fit into someone else's mold. I think that's really one of the biggest mistakes, because we find ourselves in jobs that we hate because we saw someone else doing well in that job and it looks good and we chose that job, and that becomes a major mistake for us where we're frustrated. So avoid trying to fit in someone else's mold, and avoid using other people's success as that inspiration for your journey. So that's not your map. Design your own blueprint. So for me, like, what are the top tips for medical lab professionals to create an action plan to achieve their career goal would be really to design your own blueprint or your own map. And the steps would be, first, know thyself. I can't reiterate that enough, because a lot of times we miss that piece. It's like encouraging people to apply for these jobs that they don't fit in. So first is know yourself. And what I would say, you are an amazing piece in that big quilt, or just imagine a quilt and you have to fit in. You have an important part and you're different, and you're going to fit into that quilt that's going to make this masterpiece. So find time to figure out who you are. So find your strengths, find your passion, the experiences that you have, what training you had before, what are you great at, what are the things that really light you up, and use that to determine what I call your core role, the core role that's right for you. So that's one of the first steps that you'll take in coming up with that action plan. Then understanding, know what your core values are. what are the things that are the deal breakers when it comes to your career that maybe if you, it's really non-negotiable, what are the things that you really stand for that if you're in a situation, it's really going to frustrate you if it's not going your way? And I know a lot of people think that it's easy to find their core values because they may say, I may relate to that value here and there. But it's so important to really spend the time to find out what are the values that really make you up. And there are different ways to do that. So finding that core value help you to decide on even where you need to work. Who are the people and the environments that you need to work in? Because if you're not aligned, that could lead to burnout, depression, sometimes even hopelessness, because you feel as if you're stuck in a job. So core values. The next thing is, like I say, knowing your core self would be like your stamina. Like, can I work in this situation based on my physical strength, my emotional strength, my mental tolerance? Can I work in this situation based on what's going on? Because I may have a lot going on at home. Can I manage night shift? Can I manage a 3/7? So knowing yourself is important. Have a clear vision. And I talk a lot about having a clear vision of where do you see yourself, your life, your, not just your job, but your life. How does that fit into your career? So have a clear vision. And I think I did last week episode on setting effective goal has a lot to do with how you come up with your clear vision. There's also another episode 66 on setting a clear vision. So it's so important to have a clear vision of where you want to go in your career. How does that fit into your end goals in life? So having that clear vision is important. So you do all of that, you know your core role, you know your core self, you know your core value, and you have a clear vision of what you want. But then once you really know that, then that's going to help you to start moving into deciding on who you're going to network with, that which we talk about. Knowing yourself first, and then you start deciding on where would I find this role? What environment would I want to work? What company would I want to work with the kind of values that I have? Where could I do well in? And then, of course, you're going to do the whole resume piece. After you really know who you are, you're going to be able to define who you are when it comes to your resume. It's going to help you with your interviews. It's going to help you with so many things. It's going to help you with confidence that we talk about, because you really know who you are. When you become visible on social media, it's easy to talk about yourself in more, you're more comfortable about who you are. You can talk about your achievements. And then you'll have that positive outlook and belief in yourself for moving forward in your job. But one of the main thing when it comes to really defining your path is really knowing yourself, which is your core role, your core values, your core vision. And then you start doing the networking and the resume building and all the other things that's needed to actually achieve your career goals. And I'm sure there may be more that my co-host would want to add to this.
I think you did an awesome job with that, Lona. The only kind of mistake that I would want to pick up on, because I see this happen all the time, is know that supervisor or manager is not always your next right step. right? So sometimes your next right step is a technical move, and that could be a lateral move. And sometimes your next best step could be that of a supervisor or manager. Know where your strengths lie. If your strengths are in the technical, or if your strengths are in the people side of the business. And technical versus people skills are very different. But I often see people move into the manager or supervisor role, one, because of the potential for more money, I guess, they'll move into that role. Two, they think it's the next best move, and that's the thing to do, and find themselves in a role in which it's not the best fit. And that's probably because they have not done the work that you, Lona, have just talked about of knowing yourself, knowing your core role. But that was the only thing that I really wanted to add, because I see that happen quite often. And of course, I love Lona's methodology, and it's one that I talk about all the time, is defining your career roadmap. So either way, those are some great tips.
I agree with you, ladies. So I'm going to take us in to our next to last question. We've got two more left. And it is, what tips do you have for medical laboratory professionals who are feeling overwhelmed and burnt out in their current roles? And over our last three seasons, we are over 20,000 downloads and three seasons and 3 years in. So quick drop of the mic for us. I'm not going to drop my mic because my mic costs a lot, but quick clap for us. Over these last seasons, we've done, you know, five popular shows about burnout and about work-life balance. And I'll put those in the short show notes, just to name a couple. Season one, episode 34, Leaders Reducing Burnout and Empowering Your Team. Season one, episode 45, Achieving Work-Life Balance. Season 2, episode 39, featuring the amazing Dr. Kwame, about wellness and diversity and a renewed focus on combating burnout. And then as well as season 2, episode 23, featuring Patty Eshleman, tools to we can apply to prevent burnout. So we've got a lot of content that you can go back and listen to assist in answering this question. But we know that burnout is prevalent in not only the laboratory professional profession, but healthcare right now. Taking care of other people and not taking the time to focus on taking care of yourself can be taxing. Heavy workload, long hours, you know, your professional versus personal life, feeling like you have no control, which many of these questions kind of go back to, wanting to control your future and, you know, your outlook. And so just a couple of tips here, you know, as always, if you like your job, evaluate your options, you know, talk to your manager, your supervisor, your director, discuss your options at work. You know, how can you guys work together? And change some of the expectations at work, compromise on some of the solutions or the deadlines, you know, set different goals that a lot of burnout is about taking back control of your workday and taking back control of your priorities. Because burnout, I think, can make people feel very powerless, I think. So I would say learn how to prioritize at work. You know, some things are really important and other things are not. So focus on prioritizing at work. And perhaps if you can, even delegate some things. Focus on leaving work at work, trying not to bring work home, because part of burnout recovery is learning how to prioritize work versus life. And after you leaving work, trying to relax and recharge for the next day. And focus on what you need. But that goes back to a lot of what Lona was saying and understanding yourself. So do I need support? You know, do I need a support system? We did an episode before about the importance of work friends and how having friends at work, having a support system at work can help you feel more connected to your job. The mission and the vision can help you feel more confident at work. can help you feel more at ease in the job that you're doing, but also a support system at home of loved ones who support you and want to connect with you and want to try to ease some of that load from you when you get home. Also know yourself and what are some of the tactics that you can use to relieve stress. Me, I like to work out. I like to work out in the morning, early in the morning while everybody is still asleep, and gives me that time to, one, get my body kind of going, but also everybody's asleep for a period of time when I'm done working out and I can meditate or I can pray or I can just really prioritize my thoughts for that day. If it's not working out, you know, do you like relaxation activities like yoga or Tai Chi, or, you know, does coffee in the morning, does that coffee get you more going? Or does going to sleep at a particular time, you know, sleep, we know, you know, scientifically sleep tends to recharge and be very good for your well-being. So know yourself and know what is healthy for you in terms of if you or a particular religion, if it's prayer throughout the day, or if it's meditation, or if it's just mindfulness, focusing on your breathing and being aware of, you know, how your heart rate is. But focusing on you and being mindful of yourself in those moments can help reduce some of the burnout. Many of the episodes that I mentioned before were hosted by my co-hosts here. So I'm going to ask them, what are your thoughts on how your teams or your colleagues have been working with themselves or others to reduce burnout?
What I'll add, Stephanie, is I mentioned earlier on, a lot of times we may not even be in the right job. So make sure you're in your right role. Make sure you understand yourself so you're not in dissonance, like you're like, it's against my values and everything, and I'm all stressed out. And if that's the case, then know yourself, like you say, is this too much for me? But some of the method that I'm using recently, and I've introduced it on some podcasts, is mental fitness, where there are certain exercises that you can do throughout the day that's just like 2 minutes to really do mindfulness. So I'd ask our guests and all of us to go back and listen to those episodes on mental fitness, things that you can do throughout the day to prevent burnout, like sometimes just 2 minutes or less. They call PQ reps. So that's what I'd want to add to this.
I think that was great. I really don't have anything to add, but if you're feeling overwhelmed and burned out, throw up your white flag and don't be afraid to ask for help. So don't go down sinking if you need help, because you never know who can help you. So our last question is, it wasn't a submission from a listener, but it was one that we have collectively come together, and we feel like that it's a great question. And that question is, how can you all as medical laboratory professionals use the Elaborate Topics podcast to reach your career goals? As you know, we have over 150 episodes out there, but look at this podcast as your personal library, and you will be interested in different topics at different times. You can go and search for different topics. So just like in the last question, Stephanie talked about being overwhelmed and being burned out, you can actually go and search on the Elaborate Topics podcast for burnout, and you can find all of the episodes in which we talked about burnout, and you can actually start to just focus on those for now. Or maybe you're interested in those episodes that are around, you know, what's the difference between a mentor and a coach, or coaching or mentoring. We've had several episodes in that space. You can go in and type in mentorship or coaching. So trying to give you a different way in which you could look at utilizing this platform. Maybe you're interested in regulatory or QC processes. We've had several podcasts around those topics. So look at this podcast as a tool that you could use to navigate when you have questions about certain things that are happening in your laboratory career, whether it's in relation to growing your career, whether it's in regards to QC and quality control, whether it's in regards to getting a doctoral degree, and is it worth it or does it make sense? Maybe it's around advocacy and how do I use professional organizations to network and build my networking or my professional network. So that's one way that you can use this podcast as your personal library on demand. You can have Lona, Stephanie, and I as your coaches and mentors in your pocket to be able to hear from us and all of our amazing guests that we have had over time. And the other is like a bonus tip. So we've had so many amazing guests that we've had on this show. And oftentimes, those amazing guests leave their contact information, right? So if there is a guest that we've had that you've been interested in and learning more about, or you're interested in learning more about what they do in the lab, you can actually go out there and contact them. So we're all about expanding your professional network, right? Well, that's a great way, and it's often underutilized. I mean, we have guests who's left email addresses, they left their LinkedIn contact. They say contact them at any given time. So that's an opportunity too for you to be able to meet other professionals, maybe professionals in your area or professionals in the space in which you desire more information. So those are, you know, two or three of the ways that you can utilize this podcast. And of course, share it out, right? Don't be stingy, but share it out. But really, those are ways that I think sometimes we get so used to hearing something that we hear it and then we just move on to the next thing. But we have some real strategies in these podcasts that if you not only listen, but take action, you will get results. Any closing thoughts on that, you all?
I think you said it all, Tywana. It's a library. So just go in and get almost, it's good for professional and even personal development. So it's amazing. So I'm really excited. I don't know if Stephanie has anything, but.
I think we're good. Thank you guys for your questions. Hopefully we answered everything that you had. And until next time, we have enjoyed it.
Yes. Yeah, so. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure sharing with you on Elaborate Topics podcast. And thank you so much for listening. And as usual, you can listen to not only this episode, but other episodes on directimpactbroadcasting.com. You can also listen to us on LabVine. You can go on to LabVine Learning and find us on VineStream. And you can also join our Facebook group or LinkedIn group, or email us for questions on elaborate topics@directimpactbroadcasting.com, or submit a guest request if you want to be a guest on the show. And until we talk again, we have a new episode every Tuesday. So have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.